Yourself, my son, from every form of fornication was our topic last week, and so far we dealt at length with the general scope of this watchfulness, wakefulness. This is a great subject, one that Saint Basil wrote about, and he did an entire study on this watch yourself. Now, Tobit specializes the importance of this watchfulness in the area of bodily or carnal sins. He knew that his son would be traveling for weeks. He would be staying at strange places, at hotels, if you will. He would be meeting strangers. And he knew that the temptation of the flesh is very abundant for travelers, especially when they're away from home, from relatives and friends. So Tobit tells his son that the serpent of immorality is ready to strike at any moment, at any place. And in this regard, Saint Nilos of Sinai says, "Do not become relaxed from the demon of fornication, not until the day that you die. Even if you are 100 years old, do not be self-confident and relaxed about this demon of fornication." You might say, are we exaggerating here? Isn't immorality a problem with the younger people? Not so. This sin makes no exceptions. We have inmates in prisons that are 80 and 90 years old that have killed another man out of jealousy for a woman. Uncommon maybe, but it does happen. So let's not trust ourselves to the point where we can think that we can start a relationship and then we will have the strength to stop at some point. This trap has innumerable victims. It works much like an avalanche. And what can possibly slow down an avalanche on its way down? Nothing can stop it until it hits bottom. This is why we must be very careful in these matters, because if a person has the impression that he can flirt around the area of immorality without getting caught, then according to the fathers, he will fall in the worst way. But we must comment here on the different forms of fornication, because Tobit here is suggesting a multi-headed monster. When he specifies all forms of fornication, meaning that we have a complex matter here, St. Paul presents us with an accurate reference on what these bodily sins can be. He tells us a great deal in his epistle to the Romans and to the Corinthians. For example, in 1 Corinthians, he warns specifically about each type of immorality. In Corinthians 6:9, we read, "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals of the passive type, nor homosexuals of the active type will inherit the kingdom of God." We will not expand on these forms of immorality at this point because we will deal with them at great length in a series of subjects. In the Epistle to the Romans, St. Paul refers to the area of homosexuality, which has taken epidemic proportions in our days. And this is among men and women. In Romans 1:26, we read, "Even their women exchange natural relations," meaning marriage, "for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandon natural relations with women," meaning marriage again, "and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men." St. Paul is so clear here. He uses so much detail, and yet in our days, in this country, we have so-called homosexual Christian congregations, if that's possible, seeking to be accepted in the American Council of Churches. Now, what business does the... I better stop here. So, in the original Greek, St. Paul does not refer to these people as men and women. Yes, I know they are called men and women in our Protestant Bibles, but in your original Greek, that's not the case, because there is honor in the word men or woman. A man or a woman represent an icon, an image of God. St. Paul says, "Arsenes," those of the male gender, and "Thiles," those of the female gender. Simply, there are males and there are females. And in doing this, he denotes their likeness to animals. They stooped at a level much lower than the animals because even animals have more respect for themselves than this. So St. Paul here speaks in a derogatory manner to show the degree of humiliation that the ancient world found itself in. That was the condition of the world when Christianity came about. Again, we will discuss these things at length, even though St. Basil says about these matters, "I hesitate to talk about these things, but I cannot remain silent either." Also, St. John Chrysostom says, "I'm not interested in making beautiful speeches and sermons, but to make beautiful and pious those that listen." And yes, someone could say, how can we talk about these things, especially in Sunday school or at a church environment? In recent years, Sunday school teachers or parents have avoided these subjects. Unfortunately, public school, health education, programs, secular programs, television, and the street, they are teaching our children at a very young age. The big problem is that these secular teachers are teaching these matters in a very, very ungodly way, in such a way to even push our young people to fall into the gutter of these bodily sins. Well, St. Basil says we shouldn't have to talk about these things, but it is far more dangerous to have a hush-hush attitude, especially in today's day and age. We must speak about these matters openly, especially since the Holy Scriptures are very specific about these matters. St. Paul is not ashamed to discuss these issues, and we shouldn't be either. No, we cannot hide, we cannot stick our heads in the sand. These sins are so widespread, and much like gangrene, they need to be exposed and treated immediately. So let's begin to analyze these very serious kinds of bodily sins. We will do this under the scope of the Word of God always. This is exactly why we are doing these series, because we want what is of interest to us. We want to find out exactly what God wants from us in these issues. We are not interested in the scope of the world. Unfortunately, the world, with the help of the devil, has cheapened and made light of the wisest plan of God, the most beautiful area of creation, the area of human reproduction. If we could only see the depth of this wisdom of God, the greatest miracle in the universe, the development of a human being, there is nothing greater. If we could somehow explode the sun, we would break the sun into 100 pieces. We would not accomplish anything. The sun is dead, lifeless. And to break a rock into many pieces, I have nothing. But to be able to bring forth a human being out of another human being, this is by far the greatest mystery of God and the most wise. And if in fact we have one of the greatest and wisest mysteries of God, shouldn't we include this in the area of nature and treat it much like the holies of holies? And we should enter that area with much awe and seriousness to comprehend these marvels of God, certainly. So please, let's show much seriousness in the discussion of these subjects. Unfortunately, the devil has succeeded to cheapen this great marvel of God. He has placed it in the street corners and into every form of entertainment, reducing it to a cheap thrill. And this shows the hatefulness of the devil. The devil has scored devastating blows against human beings, serious blows. And let's not think that the devil will push me to steal or lie. There are much more serious sins, much like the method of perversion, which the devil would rather use. So we must pay the utmost attention here to study these very, very serious matters and possibly re-educate ourselves in this very important area of our life. In schools, the students of anatomy or biology or genetics, they study the reproductive area with much seriousness. How much more seriously must we study, since we will be looking at these subjects from a spiritual point of view and from the position of God the Creator? How God would want us to walk in this very special area. And now we return to the description of St. Paul, who says that, "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor homosexuals, nor idolaters, nor adulterers will inherit God's kingdom." We will analyze this verse of St. Paul. Why is he writing to the Corinthians, "Do not be deceived"? Because it is a great deception to accept the unnatural as natural, the unlawful as lawful, and the immoral as an alternate lifestyle, or at least neutral. Our society today especially, has greatly confused these concepts, and this shows the extreme decadence of our times. When St. Paul came to Corinth and he saw firsthand the horrible state of a city that worshipped Aphrodite. In Aphrodite's temple, there were housed over 1,000 women used for sacred fornication, a necessary element for the worship of idols, a necessary element much like incense or beeswax in our services today. One of the necessary elements of idol worship was fornication. This was a great shame for mankind, which shows the degradation of men when the true God is lost from his horizon. However, our times today worldwide are showing the same characteristics that St. Paul found in Corinth almost 2,000 years ago. We are hitting rock bottom. We have reached unprecedented levels of decay. And when someone is involved in the system, will not be able to see this element of decay. However, we only need to have a small amount of the Spirit of God, and it will become very clear to us that we have slipped into a tremendous spiritual hypothermia. Let's not be deceived because we have made some technological advances. We have created sophisticated weaponry to wipe each other out halfway across the earth. Is this progress or barbarism? The ability to kill and maim and poison each other by our technological advances. Is this to our credit? This is a deception. To think that we are advancing, where in all actuality we are heading back in the days of paganism, recession, regression, decay. Again, let's not be deceived by what the world defines as progress. People have grossly distorted the meaning of progress. This great distortion is taking epidemic proportions in all walks of life. This is why Isaiah says, "Woe to those that call the evil good and the good evil." Isaiah 5:20. Those that treat the darkness as light and the light as darkness. Those that call the bitter sweet and the sweet bitter. If we could only look into these words of the Holy Spirit at a certain depth, we could discover so much, so many things. In a single description, we can say that Isaiah here is talking about distortion. Distortion and perversion can take place when man alienates himself from the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what St. Paul wants to tell us. Do not be deceived. Do not distort reality. See these things as they truly are, and not how your eyes might be seeing them. So St. Paul writes that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's talking about fornicators, men and women. Now, what is fornication, often translated as immorality? The Greek being porneia, and that's the root word for pornography. That's how we get the root for that word. I don't believe that there's anyone that does not know what fornication may mean. However, there is a tremendous number of Christians that look at it as something natural, a natural expression. So many of our young, unsuspecting people, bombarded by the lust climate of our days, are killing their souls and bodies daily. Let's not think that killing only takes place with knives or guns, but when the souls get killed, when the bodies decay and rot with communicable diseases, don't we have a massacre? When our young people may have bought the great lie of psychology that illicit sex is necessary, natural, and something that's expected of them, isn't this a distortion? It is a great distortion and one that leads to death. Do not be deceived, says the Word of God. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what is fornication? We will take the views of Saint Basil and Saint Gregory of Nyssa. By the way, in our studies here, we will not involve ourselves with sex-transmitted diseases, statistics of the various epidemics, percentages of pregnancies, teenage pregnancies. These things we can find in our daily newspapers or even at the local library, and these things do not help that much anyway. We know that we have these problems. We will try to get to the root of the problem. We will look into its theology. And this is exactly what we need. We need to know what God expects from us in these situations, and this is how we will expose the root of the problem. And we quote from Saint Basil in his 199th epistle, "Fornication is not marriage or the beginning of marriage." Saint Gregory of Nyssa says, "Fornication is the fulfillment of desire." These two views of our holy fathers are sending us back to paradise to look at the bond of matrimony. After the creation of the two sexes, God said, "Increase and multiply and cover the earth, become fruitful." Increase means grow, just like a small child must grow to reach its full potential. Then he said, "Multiply," which means you must become 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, a geometric progression. And God blessed them. Here, at the first phase, we have the creation of men, which brings men into existence. He becomes a living, breathing human being. And after this phase of existence, now we have the second phase, which is God's blessing. We must pay attention to this because creation, without the blessing of God, would never prosper, even though God Himself was involved in the creation. So whatever was created had to be blessed, and God blessed them. And this blessing in paradise does not refer to humans only, but to the entire creation. So we are talking about two things, nature and blessedness, creation and blessedness. Now, the act of fornication, the act of sex, let's say, refers to something natural for the time being, something created by God, yes, but does not refer to God's blessedness. This is very important. God created my body, and yes, I can use it, or I can abuse it. I can use it or abuse it, but with or without God's blessing. The service of holy matrimony bestows the blessing of God on this beautiful area of creation. Fornication is a great sin, because it does not have the blessing of God. Let's not forget that we should always seek for God's blessing, even for the good things. For instance, if we want to fast 3 or 5 days a week or increase our fast, we would be sinning if we don't have the blessing of our spiritual father. We will be doing our own will. So fornication is a serious sin, and it has been classified by the fathers as one of the 7 deadly sins. It holds second place after gluttony. And by God's grace, we will continue on this very important subject next week.